Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Jojo, isn't this exciting?
It is very exciting, as very it is exciting. Every day, Bruce.
We're sold out today. We've got two real people.
Two real people.
Thank you for joining us. Thank you for joining us for our four-star.
Yes, we had podcast. A four-star review this morning. Bruce is not happy with it.
No, he describes me as camp.
Well, that's unacceptable.
Could you pipe down, bitch? Thank you. No, I just read that and I thought, you're actually a homophobe. And
right.
Then I didn't understand why you needed another plug.
No, why I needed another plug? Well, because I'm worth it, darling. I've managed, between the car and here, to lose my orange juice.
Goodness.
I know.
Life is just a mystery. You're so like Madonna.
I know. That's what I thought. Life is a mystery. But I am now condom and lubed up because you arrived with a bulk. But he gets me condoms in bulk, which is very kind because he thinks about me.
And who doesn't use them?
Well, I've not had a chance to use them recently.
No, but the thing
busy.
Because she enjoys a horizontal refreshment, I'm like, oh, for God's sake. I said, and you do realise, you know, it's not so much, you know, you probably get an STI, you know.
And I said, what's one of them?
Yeah, so I bring it in bounty from the bum clinic.
You
quite enjoy it, don't
I
you?
I like it. I like getting my little my delivery of bumper condoms.
It's so funny, actually, and I'm pleased.
It's like you're my pimp.
Well, no. No. I would go for a quality product, not something that's just like, oh, well, you know, and not take the money. It was so funny, though, because Jimmy Quinn, a very good friend of ours, he said, are you really getting her condoms? I went, Aunt Luby went, she'll need that. I thought,
he did not. Is that what he said?
He did. And boy, we laughed.
Oh.
But we didn't laugh at the lack of cheese and the nachos across the road at the Richmond Cafe. That was £10 for some hot crisps. That was pish.
Oh.
No, seriously, I mean, I can't eat that. It's too many points. And the calamari was honking.
Oh, I left before then.
Yeah, well, absolutely. You're high on your latte.
I was high on my latte.
And we're coming to the end of another week. And thank Christ.
I know. I think we've had enough now.
I am done, man.
I mean, it's not that we haven't enjoyed speaking to people and things, but it does. I mean, it's a lot of conversation day in, day out, isn't it?
And honestly, you have to talk to people. You have to pretend you like them.
I know. You have to be interested.
Exactly. Which can go up and down, really, can't it? It's just a shame the reviewer never came in on a good day. I mean, yesterday was fine. Hello to all the guests. Thank you for coming. But last Saturday, that would have been a 6-star, and I don't think you can get a 6-star review.
No.
It would have been like an Emirati hotel because they're like 7, 8, 10 stars.
They are, because hotels anywhere but the UK are marvelous in comparison to the shoddy offering that we've got. An Ibis is £350 a night.
What?
£350 a night for an Ibis.
Oh my God.
For an Ibis.
That is expensive to self-harm.
Isn't it?
Really? £350 for one of those. I always feel sorry for the people that have to stay when they go and do the stand in Glasgow and they stay in the Ibis, because that really is, that's like one flew over the cuckoo's nest.
Yeah, no, it's horrible. That
it's
hotel
so
bar particularly.
Oh my God, that honks of pizza fat.
Yeah.
Oh, people are using it as lube when no one's looking.
I upped my beanbag game yesterday.
Well, you're now a human pasty, aren't you?
Yeah. Because yes. I like my beanbag up at the loft bar, so I go for a little lie down, a little afternoon nap.
Yeah.
And then it was quite chilly yesterday out of the sun, so I came up with the idea.
Oh, my God, did you just say chilly out of the sun?
Chilly out
of
the sun.
That's what my mum always says. It's cold if you're knowing the sun.
It's cold if you're knowing the sun, she's right. And so I fashioned lying on the beanbag with the beanbag on top of me, my wee head popping out.
Outside?
So, yeah.
Why didn't you just stay inside?
Because you can't smoke.
Right.
So the ashtray next to me.
What we have discovered is the one thing that Jojo doesn't like is a solution.
No.
So, no, much better to be outside complaining about
yes,
the cold.
Yes, absolutely.
With your
access to an ashtray. And then I lay there and whoever the man is that does the Basil Brush, what's his name?
Oh, don't ruin the illusion of theatre.
Oh, sorry. Basil Brush was there. Basil was there
He's
with
his family.
He's
very friendly with Nicola Sturgeon now.
Oh, is he? Right, okay. But they were just standing, chatting amongst themselves, and they were there for about an hour, and then until they realised I was there, and they went, "How long have you been there?" I went, "The whole time."
Oh my God, it's just an old bit of sushi in the corner. Mm-hmm. Don't fucking speak to it.
Don't speak to me.
Don't speak to it. But are you coping? Are you enjoying yourself?
I am enjoying myself. Yourself, I am. Yeah. I mean, I was just saying to Jamie, I don't know if my liver, I've probably got cirrhosis of the liver and some kind of a habit, but
Didn't you have that before this?
I think it was more well maintained and that used to have at least a bit of a recovery period before getting on it again.
Okay.
Whereas I've just been on it. And then yesterday I did, I have a routine where I get a pint of lager before my show and then I take a pint of lager on stage with me. I couldn't face a pint of lager before my show. I took a pint on stage with me. I drank about a sip of it and I was like, oh no, I can't. So I did not drink all day yesterday because my body just went, oh, have a fucking word with yourself, woman.
Really? Yeah. What did you do with the pint?
Just left it for somebody else. God.
That is so benevolent.
It is.
You're like Diana.
I don't know if
Diana
that happens
the
anymore.
World.
Did you used to do that when you were younger? Go swiping around the tables because you had no money as because I used to drink as a teenager before it was legal, and you'd have no money and you'd go into bars.
Yeah.
And then you just go and
you
swipe
just
all
the drinks.
Yeah, pick up the drinks that people are left behind.
And then I worked in a club in Glasgow.
I don't have a problem with alcohol. I really don't.
And I worked in a club in Glasgow, and I remember Lulu was doing a performance. She was doing a PA the week before it was Barbara Windsor, and I found out what hotel she was in and kept falling up and screaming. So I enjoyed that. And then Lulu came in, and I ate all Lulu's sandwiches, and then they saw I was stealing out the till, and then I was stealing everyone's drinks. But I only got barred for one night, and then I was allowed back in. I was never re-employed.
No. Well, no. Naturally.
I mean, manual labour was not for me.
No.
No.
Oh, God, no.
No, just silly. Anyway, shall we can we have the house lights up, pre-health and safety? Because our first act is a bit difficult.
They
can't see. They've done this deliberately to themselves.
No,
all
I know.
For attention.
I have to say, though, the idea of putting lights on for Jamie doesn't make any fucking difference because
it's for his carer.
All for his carer.
God almighty.
All right, okay.
Could you just come on and stop drawing attention to yourself? Look, I could be blind, but I don't have the time. Sit down. There we go. Come over, round of applause. Hello. Hi. Jojo will hand you. Hang on, Jojo will hand you.
I'm going to give you a microphone.
I don't think we bothered to even introduce you. It's not even on, is it? Oh, yeah, who am I? Yeah, just this blank.
We should tell everybody who's here. Jamie McDonald has joined us.
McDonald, hello. Hello,
hi. Very good.
I've got
a sticky foot, man, because I put some fucker's orange juice on the way up.
Look at you doing a callback.
Yeah, right straight away.
Do you know why that is? Because your other senses are heightened.
Say again.
Your other senses. What I was going to say to you was, Jamie, can I ask a question before we go any... Have you always been visually impaired or not?
It's a degenerative thing. So I say that once I could see, but now I'm blind. I'm the opposite of that lucky fucker from the Amazing Grace tune. That's a good joke. We're in a fucking church.
So anyway, answering my question, what could you see before you couldn't? Could you see everything?
Yeah, pretty much, I think.
Right.
Oh, so you do know what the world looks like.
I do know what the world looks like. And now I know what it feels like.
Sometimes.
Is that very frustrating, like, genuinely? Like, do you get angry?
No. I think there was a point in my teens where I probably did. But now...
So, sorry, just to put a kind of time frame, a chronology on it. How long
were you... Paxman style.
How long were you...
Yeah, isn't it?
Well, you have to be quiet when people are asking you a question, Jamie. That's the thing.
And when they answer.
So, right, just hang on. So what age did you stop? When did it become that you were in the decline? Because Sindhu V was telling us she had a bulldog and it went blind on Christmas Eve last year. So was it as quick as that or was it longer?
Oh, no. I mean, I've still got a tiny little bit. But I would say it was became significant kind of mid to late teens.
Right.
So childhood, fine. Skipping daisy chains the fucking lot, right? Mm. And then, mid to late teens, decline, bit of denial. So I probably should have been using that stick maybe 5 years before I did.
Okay.
So there's a kind of, there's a bit of...
A period of a lot of stumbling.
Well, exactly that. Mm. Yeah, because you get to the point that you transition basically from being an able-bodied person to a disabled person, but that transition, that you get to the point where you are really failing at being an able-bodied person, right. You know, like you're twatting people and, you know, you just look rude. Mm-hmm. So then the first day when I started using that stick, which was the first day I started Aberdeen University, I thought I can't, because I was doing a second degree because I'm fucking smart. And
he's a clever arse.
Yeah, and I started using it on day one and it was kind of like a real, what you call, watershed moment, because it was like, okay, it's bye to that guy that was rattling into folk, and then this new guy who's now marked, who's now totally defined by his disability.
Okay.
But it was luxury. Like, everyone's getting in my way. It's like, oh, fucking, this is nice. Like, you know, people were like, considering.
Oh, so that way we were going, oh, well, fucking hell, why didn't I do this years ago?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Blind, I'm going to be fine.
And,
yeah.
And my family, you know, I thought, you know, my family will be like, oh my God, what's that like? But they were like, oh, fucking, about time. You know, we've been wanting this for years. So yeah,
I can understand that denial, though, isn't it? It's trying to hang on to the past, or do you know what I mean? Or cling on to what you think you know, because change is always quite scary.
But that's what they say, that human beings are conditioned to hang on to any situation that's familiar, whether negative or positive,
yes.
Because it's familiar. That, are you scared?
I don't know. If I got my sight back tomorrow, I'd fuck that thing in the bed straight away.
But when it was happening, were you scared?
I've never been scared of it. No. It was never a fear thing. It was just more of a, bastard thing, you know,
An inconvenience.
Because I've always kind of found workarounds and solutions and stuff. But I was never frightened by it, because like I didn't focus on what I was losing. Like what I still got is pretty good. This is a shameless plug, but that's what my show's about this year. Is that the New York Times did a poll and blind came out as like the worst thing that could ever happen to you.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And it beat death. Like, so it's like,
oh wow.
It's like, so I honestly don't think it's that bad, but I think I've resigned myself to it. You know, like I don't spend every day yearning to see again. Like I don't think disability and happiness are kind of mutually exclusive. Mm. So that's why.
That feels like a bit of an insult, doesn't it? That somebody probably cited goes, oh, that's the worst that can happen to you. Go fuck off.
Yeah, well, we can't even read the paper. we can't even vote. It's rigged. Is that a deaf person voting for their favourite radio show?
What happens when you get these visually impaired? Are you on Twitter?
Yeah.
Yeah, so what are the visually impaired tweets? Because that's not... obviously dots coming through the ether, but you know, you can get Twitter for blind people.
Yeah. Oh, right. Oh, sorry. No, what you'll do there was just be screen readers. So it'll just be a kind of robotic voice reading out the tweet. So,
yeah, it just reads it to you. I would imagine is fraught with danger in some of the translations and not necessarily coming through as written, that you hear something different to what was written.
But that's a bit like sat navs. You can't trust them.
No, absolutely.
How is your driving?
I still can't get the provisional.
Did you ever learn to drive?
No.
Right, okay.
I have driven though, but I never learned to drive.
Right, okay, that's fair enough.
There's a lot of admissions on this podcast. I think if the police go back over it with a fine tooth comb, there'd be a lot of arrests.
It's a good time to get people. Everyone's knackered about this time of the month. So
I know.
The guard's totally down. Yeah, I used to drink drive my mate's car at parties.
Do you touch upon this in your show?
Not the drink driving.
No.
The New York Times poll, that's very much the centerpiece of it.
Right. Yeah. Mm. And were you insulted by that?
Do you know, I'm not, because I'm not pressed. I just thought, it's I just wanted to put the other case that it's, mm-hmm. it's from a blind person's point of view, because I doubt blind people voted in that poll. And if they did, then they're having a pretty tough time. So, you know, it's but I certainly would. I'd have put gay down, I think.
Right. If you'd said that immediately, I might have been impressed. It took you a while to get there, but
it's the worst kind of disability.
But it's nice to know that homophobia is a theme of the review and now the guest.
I know, absolutely.
And it was the same with Yuroko. She was homophobic in the beginning because she didn't hug me.
No, she did
not.
No,
she didn't. No. She was very scared.
She could smell a gay.
Yeah, she could. Do you know she's 187 years old?
She looks amazing.
She does look amazing.
Tone.
It's fish. Mm-hmm. Just raw fish, like Danny DeVito, the penguin. So how do you find then the whole month? Is it just the same in as much as you like your show, it's a good show, but everyone else can get to?
I mean, I don't go and do other things because it's a, you know what it's like, and it's mental. Like,
and particularly,
I can't navigate it on my own. So lovely Georgie from Gag Reflex is helping me here today, because if not, nice. I wouldn't have got past the front door. So I've seen a couple of things, but only because I'm doing them for a TV thing. I saw like the circus and the train spotting, and I was at that wrestling thing last night. What's it called? You've seen them in the loft bar though, the big wrestlers kicking
about. Oh yes.
Mythos,
the black
Ragnarok.
He's very handsome. He's got all that sort of black face paint and everything. It's
a choke slam.
Is that not illegal?
It's not wrestling.
He's not blacked up. He's just kind of.
I think we call it blackface now.
Is it?
Yes,
oh right. Okay.
Yes, I think
it's blacked up offensive as well.
Yes.
Oh right. Okay. Yes. Somebody needs to keep me up to date. So
that's the trouble. Report being to the
protection. I do a joke about when my mum had nervous breakdown and ended up in a loony bin, but apparently loony bins you can't say that either. So you kind of go well.
She
still ended up in a fucking psychiatric assessment centre for 6 weeks.
Do you find that you have to curtail your chatter in public? Are you worried about being quoted as saying the wrong thing? A wee bit. Yeah, I think everyone is.
Everybody's walking on eggshells.
Are they?
Can't say that anymore, Georgia.
No.
Oh, I don't know. I think as long as the intent isn't malicious, I think you... Do you know what I mean?
100%.
No, it's definitely...
Do you feel you can get away with more... you know, you can say something really offensive and go, oh, I don't have a mistake, and that'll get you out of it.
Yeah, I do a pretty tasteless joke about quadriplegics.
Nice. Fun.
But my reckoning is, if the New York Times voted everything worse than blind, I cannot punch down.
Oh,
I can only punch up.
Oh, you nailed it.
Yeah, so the best I can do is a lateral blow, and that seems to be okay.
Have you been to New York to actually go and speak to someone at the New York Times about this? Because you seem quite angry.
Take them to task.
Just cut a pebble off the window, you fucking...
Excuse me, I managed to get on a plane all the way from Scotland, you big cows. Yeah,
like, I love New York.
I heart. Or actually, I don't heart New York. Yeah. You're blindest.
Because you are no longer in Scotland, are you? You live elsewhere. Yeah. You've abandoned us for English territory.
I've emigrated to Sheffield. So you know,
Sheffield?
Yeah.
Just,
why?
That is basically, that's what the city should be called.
Why?
Sheffield, why?
Oh my God.
My wife, she's a surgeon.
Leave her.
So she can. You kidding? I do this, Luke.
Well, of course, because she'll have the money. Yeah, oh, no, I understand. Yeah.
So,
but do you like living in Sheffield?
Well,
I've never been actually.
I quite like Sheffield. It's got a nice comedy club.
I didn't when I started because we moved down mid lockdown and I just had nothing. I had no work. I had no people there. Everything was shut and it was pretty lonely. But then now we're 2 years in and yeah, I love it. Like we're out of the Peak District. It's just a different pace of life because we moved from the West End in Glasgow down to basically the Peak District. So it's
is that where Peak Practice was set?
Must be.
Yeah. Must be. I think the name is a giveaway.
Yeah. Have you been to the Peak District?
I don't know.
No. Right.
I don't think so. No. Yeah, well, probably, but it's just areas of places. Yeah.
You go through it to get from Sheffield to Manchester. That's
I've definitely been to the Peak District.
Yeah.
So you're liking it now?
I am. Yeah. Because comedy wise, you've got Sheffield itself, which is quite good stuff, and you got Leeds, you got Nottingham, Manchester, Birmingham, and London. So you've got quite a lot of options because, you know, with you know what it's like in Central Belt, you've got here, and you get Glasgow, and then you got to go up to Aberdeen. You know, so it's.
Oh no, I wouldn't go to Aberdeen. No, no, nothing ever good happened in Aberdeen other than being in the second row for steps. Now that's worth the trip.
That was one of the earliest bits of advice I got. Actually, if you're going to travel, living in Edinburgh, if you're going to travel for 2 hours, travel 2 hours south, not 2 hours north.
Yeah, so, well, I said that to my really niece and nephews when they were looking, well, niece and nephew singular, when they were looking at universities, I said, do not pick Aberdeen. It's a destination. Mm-hmm. There is nothing there. Yeah. Yeah. And the people are weird. And I don't care if that offends Aberdonians. Mm-hmm. It's true.
Mm-hmm. And yes, no, hell mend them.
But exactly, because remember that woman that couldn't afford a pool that used to go out with Gus whoever and she used to bathe in a wheelie bin? I mean, that's shocking. Do you remember she used to go in the wheelie bin naked?
Ooh.
What was her name? Gus, what was his, Tawes?
Gus Tawes.
Do you remember that girl that he used to go out with, the busty one?
Oh, yeah. Did he not marry her?
I don't know. She was in a wheelie bin.
You know, that's in, the point. In the house or out in the garden?
No, I think outside.
In the garden.
She's got some standard. Dunk a hose in it and fill it up.
But
you couldn't really move or tread water, and she was a big girl. Like, you know,
it was a very DIY plunge pool.
It was a poverty plunge pool.
Somebody showed me a picture recently, and it was just the bleakness of hell. The picture of the little kids, and it was put up genuinely, dad sort of filling a paddling pool for his kids, and they were splashing about. It's like, oh, somewhere in the garden, but it literally was like Shameless. It was just like weeds and cracked pavement. It was the bleakest thing I've ever fucking seen. Like, oh my God. But the kids were having a whale of a time. So.
Well, that's fine.
Kids don't know really the difference.
Are you a keen gardener?
God, no.
No.
Kidding. No. I once mowed the lawn and my wife shat it.
Oh.
Right.
So I'm not allowed. I'm not allowed.
And do you miss living in Glasgow?
Bits of it, yeah, yeah. I love
Have you still got the dog?
Oh God, yeah, Hector. Oh, lovely. Yeah. Hector, yeah, no, Hector still, he loves the Peak District, like, so. Yeah,
wow, lots of smells.
What kind of Springer Spaniel?
Labrador. Yeah, so he's a nice boy. He's over at my mum and dad's for the month in Glasgow. She's in Glasgow, lucky bastard.
Oh, really? Yeah. So where do you stay when you're doing the festival then?
So I'm on Coburn Street. Just above, just near.
I'm Cleveland. Going to have to apologise because I think that pinging noise is my phone, which is plugged in over there.
Have you ordered some drugs? So they're on their way.
Well, that might be.
Uber is outside.
You carry on talking. I'll just go and switch off the pinging.
Right, that's
sound.
What you do. I'm glad you brought your professional blouse today, Jojo. I mean, what a treat for the sellout audience. So, what are you hoping to get out of this fringe? Because I haven't asked that about anyone. But what do you want to achieve?
I don't know. I've kind of done it. Like I've got a 5-star and 2 4-stars. So that was kind of what I wanted to do and have a good solid show.
Isn't that amazing? You've got all those stars and no one cracked a fucking noise. Thanks for that. That's lovely.
I could feel the bitterness coming off me from over there. So, what do you mean 5 stars? I got 4.5. I never understand. What's the half? Just give me a bloody 5.
The 3.5 is a torturous one.
No, absolutely, yeah.
Because nobody will put that up in your poster.
No.
3.5.
I was saying that to Philippa, that you always get, so people that get a 3 and they go, oh my God, it's a 3, but it reads like a 4.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, no, it doesn't read like a 4. No. You're a whore.
It reads like a 2.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. But wouldn't you rather a load of 1s?
Oh, yeah.
Just so that people were totally confused about coming to see your show.
Yeah, because then it's absolutely something, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's it.
I love reading the 1-star reviews. And I think actually 1-star review shows do pick up an audience because people go, oh, God, let's go and see how much shit this is.
Yeah.
But the Edinburgh Fringe game, isn't it, is to get one of each, to get a 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. So across the board from each.
And what venue are you on it?
Gilded Balloon Sportsman.
Oh, that's my room.
Yeah. You, what time are you on? You're
4:45.
I'm 7:45.
Oh, right, nice. Yeah. And do you have any, because I'm just on, Lou Conran's just finishing just before I start. And so I get all her lovely laughter. She's having a great run. And then it's quiet for 30 minutes. And then I don't know who's in the billiard room above me that gets my noise bleed afterwards. So do you get any noise bleed in?
Yeah, I get some. Is it the balcony? Is that the one just up at the top?
Balcony and billiard room, yeah.
Yeah, top left corner. I get somebody. He's a South African guy that I think his show is about how loud a South African can scream.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah. Nailing it.
He absolutely nails it every night at different points as well. He doesn't scream. You know, normally people are doing similar sets, so yeah, similar disruptions happen at the similar time. Not this guy.
See, I've dealt with screamers all my life. That would be a, that would be a busman's holiday to me, in all honesty. So, no. So, quarter to 8.
Quarter to eight,
and
yeah,
the show is called?
The show is called Reasonably Adjusted.
And are you?
Oh. I am.
You seem to be.
I think so.
You're a wee bit spiky to begin with, but you've calmed down. I think you lack a wee bit of confidence.
I think you're absolutely right. I'll work on that.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Yeah. Who are you staying with in Coburn Street? Are you on your
own? I'll
be on
my own, yeah.
All right,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah. So it's I didn't realise that you couldn't drive up Coburn Street, so I get a taxi from the bottom of the road, which is fine from the bottom of the road, but I've just got to find this innocuous one little door on the way back. Oh, halfway up.
Do you know something? It's absolutely outrageous, because one of my favorite shops is Time and Tide. They've got a big Time and Tide. It's beautiful. Yeah. And they get angry if you go up the wrong way. I'm like, bitch, look, I've just bought a drinks trolley, I'll drive however I want, thank you. Eat shit and die.
They're everywhere now. There's sort of these planters that they block off streets.
Oh, yeah. I think that's in case of terrorism.
Or just terrorism, to irritate the shit out of me.
Terrorism. Well,
I take it personally.
No, 100%. I think they do that for things like the Christmas market and stuff like
yes,
that.
Yes, they do. Yeah.
So that people can't
ever
drive
since
into the crowds.
The Glasgow attack, isn't it? They kind of put all these barriers in. I know. Absolutely.
Well, Jamie, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you very
much. Thank you very much, Bruce. Thank you very much.
Jamie McDonald. Lovely to see you as always, darling.
Get your prop. Thank you.
Take care, and I'll see you on the road soon, I hope. Oh, you will. Oh
my God.
I know. Don't
hear any more about it. Oh,
Christ.
Oh, wow. There we go.
Do you know,
thanks,
do you know
Jamie,
the thing that's always away with Jamie? Because Jamie doesn't have a fucking clue where he's going, but we can see where he's going, and sometimes it doesn't. My little hearts in my mouth go, oh, fucking hell.
That's why careful. I asked for the lights to go up.
Yes, good point,
I thought
point,
that was very
mate.
Christian of me.
It was, very thoughtful.
Now, shall we, and just feel free to pop off, because I know you're hungry, Jamie.
Yes, so. Go and have your lunch.
Yes. Are you going anywhere nice?
Georgie, is Lee back yet? Because Lee went back down south. Is he back up? Yeah, cool. I'll catch him later.
Yes, and I think we know why. Right, we'll move on. Thank you very much.
See you later.
Amy, can we have a round of applause for our next guest?
Fabulous Amy.
Come on, my darling. Here we go. Another early riser.
Yes, watch.
Hello, dear. Hello.
There we go, my darling.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm alive.
Oh, God. Well, do you know, I think that's always a bonus. First thing in the morning, you wake up and you go, oh, congratulations, me.
I did it. Mm-hmm. I live to see another day. But I'm well. I am so tired.
Are you knackered?
Oh, my
God. You don't look it.
Really?
Is it
no, you look
cream
great.
Or a concealer? Or do you just drink a lot of water?
I drink a lot of water, but last night I drank maybe 3 glasses of wine, which was a lot for me because this is I'm treating this as a work trip. So I'm on my best behavior.
I know, and we all think of it as a work trip or as a work exercise, but then you, like you say, it just overwhelms you, consumes you, and then it's tiring, and then you need a drink.
You're more treating it as an all you can drink buffet. I think that's the thing.
I know. I am being very professional in turn. I mean, I've been here every day.
I never said you weren't.
No, I know
you're
so you
defensive.
Darling.
That
I am
needs
defensive.
To stop. That needs to stop. I'm not Nathan. I'm not the enemy. Yeah, that's our producer, Family Woes, and is a part-time drag queen. We'll talk later. Mm. Now, Amy, where about you from?
I am from New York.
From New York.
Yes.
Right, okay.
Yes, I currently live in Los Angeles.
Oh.
Yeah.
Right, okay. And do you, because they don't drink wine at all in Los Angeles, do they?
No, they only drink green juice.
Matcha tea and all that kind of stuff. Where about New York are you from?
New Rochelle.
Yeah, is that Jersey? No. Because La Rochelle was school. That was France.
Oh, right.
Yes,
okay.
Yeah.
So New Rochelle,
you know, I'm assuming France came in and attacked and took over and called it New Rochelle.
I'm thinking New Rochelle sounds like a new, what were those ambassador suites for Ferrero Rocher? A New Rochelle or a New Rochelle Humes from the Saturdays girl group. Fabulous.
Is that, sorry to interrupt, is that genuinely the case in LA that there's just not a drinking culture? Bars and...
Well, you'd know better than that.
Yeah.
I'm a fan of the Kardashians and Kris Jenner, the momager. She likes a drink. She's always steaming.
Okay.
Drunk. Yeah. They do drink. They just don't drink in the way that we do.
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
Because everything is so spread out, and there's really poor public transportation. So you don't, like in New York, we'll go what we call bar hopping, and you just go from bar to bar to bar to bar to bar and walk home. But that's not an option in Los Angeles. So you drink at home most of the time.
Okay.
My favorite. Yeah,
I know. It's I prefer. If I were younger, I'd be like, this is boring. But now I love nothing more than drinking at home.
Yeah. Do you drink alone?
Oh, yes.
Oh, good, good. Yes. No. No, I drink with the dog because they say it's never drinking alone if you're with the dog.
Oh, yeah.
But if the dog wasn't there, I'd still drink.
Yes.
I like to drink.
And now this is where I become super judgmental because I never drink on my own.
No, but really? I think if you drink on your own, you have a problem. So your argument kind of falls apart. I mean, that's lovely.
I only do drugs when I'm drinking. So no, I don't do drugs on my own either. That would be fucking insane.
Oh, well, I mean, I did mushrooms once on my own. Really shot myself hard. Never done it again.
Ooh. I know. I've never done hallucinogenics, and I just watched this docuseries, How to Change Your Mind. And I want to try all of them now.
Really?
Ooh. Yeah.
Because we had, who was that lovely Irish girl that did the ayahuasca? Because you know, obviously you'll know Chelsea Handler.
Yes.
And I'd watched one of her things where she went and did ayahuasca. But it actually looked really depressing.
Yes.
I was really quite, not scared. I mean, I was drunk at the time because I was at home watching the program. But I was like, and I'd said to the dog, I went, do you fancy that? No. And we just got cheese out. But it didn't look good.
No. Think they all shat their pants.
Absolutely.
Oh. I saw that. Yes.
And that's what made you want to do drugs?
But the funny thing is,
I'm wondering what the motivation is here.
When I saw that Chelsea Handler experience, I thought, okay, I don't want to do ayahuasca. I don't want to shit my pants. No. You know?
Well, I remember meeting Margaret Cho a few fringes back, and she went, oh, you'd love Chelsea Handler. She is as she is. Do you know who Chelsea Handler is? She is as she is. And they'd done this thing in Atlanta, and it was Margaret Cho, Cindy Lauper, and Chelsea Handler, right? Cindy Crawford. She was in LA, not drinking. And they were all at Atlanta, and Margaret said, oh my God, I took one of these medical marijuana lollipops and I could feel my eyes and I just made all my closing statements. And she went out in front of 2,000 people and can't remember a thing. And Chelsea Handler went, I can't go on. And they went, why? She went, I've shat my pants. And Cyndi Lauper had to go out and say, Chelsea shat herself. We're really sorry. If you want a refund, you can get a refund or the tickets will do tomorrow night. She can't come on. We don't have time to clean it up. And I just thought, okay, I know that isn't for everyone, but that is brilliant to me. I just love the honesty.
Yeah. Me too.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Do you discuss shitting yourself in your show?
Yes.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
It's like I'm psychic.
I actually do.
Where did you do it?
Well, so my show, it's called Lightweight.
Lightweight.
It's about my real life experience with eating disorders. And my form of bulimia was overdosing on laxatives.
Go on, I have a story.
You've absolutely preaked them.
So I'm young, I'm in college, university, I'm 19, and the more you take, the less effective they are. You need more, like any drug, right? So now I can't shit on my own. I have to have laxatives, but now I have to do triple the dosage because my body has acclimated. And then it just becomes this really messy experiment. And suddenly you're on the train and it gets stopped and there's no bathroom. There's no toilets on the New York City subway.
No.
And you have no choice. And those laxatives, you don't know when they're going to hit.
So did you go sitting down or standing up?
Both. I've experienced both.
So you've done it more than once?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
In the show, I do a whole montage of myself, of me shitting myself all over New York City.
Wow. Oh, it's like a really kind of alternative tour guide to the city, isn't it?
Forget the celebrity bus.
The rough guide.
What time are you on?
2:50.
Oh,
shit. Literally. How do you, because I always think, you can tell I'm interested.
Oh, look at him. The body language has completely moved in and changed.
But no, I've always been fascinated with going to the toilet and things. And I've said this on the podcast before. So I never got on with my mum as a little boy, little girl, really. And I used to do revenge diarrhea to piss her off. So I would take like vitamin C supplements, Haliburton, and eat Weetaflakes and shit everywhere. And it would really annoy her. And I remember my sister worked in and Boots the chemist. It's like Dwayne Reed, only you get an advantage card. And Tina had said, Mum, why don't you come in? They're doing a kind of sounding survey thing. And my mum always took Nilax, which is a laxative, right? And I remember seeing Lulu advertising Nilax. Lulu's a Scottish singer. But she had a very full handbag, and the handbag was meant to be the bowel, and it was a metaphor, or it was something else. And I just thought, why would Lulu with an expensive handbag put shit and leaves in it? Like, it wouldn't happen. Anyway, back to the story. So my mum had got this thing, and she'd got all the Shaper stuff, this diet stuff, diet factory type things, right? And she'd got laxative chocolate. And I was a bit heavy as a child because my mum fed me biscuits, so she didn't have to talk to me, but then would call me a fat poof. And I remember there was an advert for Bigga, B-I-G-G-A, marrow fat peas. And it was a big pea that rolled across the plate and the plate split. And my mum would go, that reminds me of someone, which would upset me. And then I'd go in for the butter cookies. Anyway, the point of the story is, I thought, fuck you. So I ran up to her room because she'd hidden all the chocolate and the cup of soups and all that kind of stuff. Ate everything, right? Ran back down and went, I'm a thin now. And then I just, the tide went out. And I don't think that carpet recovered. Oh my God, it's like we're sisters.
I know. I know. Do we come from the same mom? That's amazing.
Probably.
Oh, yes. Mommy issues.
Yeah. Can I ask a question? So you've dealt with bulimia.
Yes.
Same with Princess Diana. So the best one to get.
Oh, absolutely.
were you bigger? Because you're so petite and gorgeous. And I don't mean that in a patronizing way. Just lovely.
Thank you.
But were you bigger, or was it just the fact you were worried about being bigger? Or becoming bigger?
I think it was both. I've experienced both anorexia and bulimia.
So I don't understand the difference between that. So explain that. Because I thought anorexia was starving yourself.
Yes.
Oh, yes. No. So, but then bulimia is eating and then making yourself sick.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
But okay. The both thing they have in common? Self-control.
Absolutely.
Am I correct?
It's all about control. And I get to that in the show as well. And I was bigger. I've always been petite, but very, very curvy. This is my show costume. So I purposely kind of cover my body. I don't want people to try to size me up on stage. But we're Italian. My dad's side is Italian. So I had
carbs.
Lots of curves. And when my parents divorced, I started to binge, but not purge, just binge and overeat and overeat. And so I gained a lot of weight, and then I was very uncomfortable, and I thought, I'm so out of control. I'm going to start to purge.
Deal with it.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. And then it became an addiction because it's you just get this high, this euphoric, like, I got rid of it, you know? And then I gained a lot of weight. I moved to New York City for college, and I was there for 9/11. And that is when the addiction flipped to anorexia, because I was there everything was out of control.
Yeah.
And I went into my flat. I was trying to get to work, and the trains were shut down, and the taxis weren't taking you anywhere, and the phones were out, the TVs were out. So we didn't know what was happening.
What was going on?
And the world knew, but those two of us who were there, we didn't. You just thought, what?
God, that's extraordinary that you're actually on the ground of where it's all going on and completely clueless as to the bigger impact.
Right. So I went back to my flat and I just started counting peanuts and pretzels. And I counted and I counted and I counted and I felt better. And so it was the way to execute control that day.
Mm.
But the eating disorder goes way back to childhood. You know, it was food was rewards, you know.
Especially the Italian culture. I mean, it's very much based on, you know, the love of food is very food based. And, you know what I mean? And celebration and always, you know, breaking bread with people. 100%.
Now, I grew up in a household with my great grandparents living on the first floor.
Nona.
Mm.
It is like you were split at birth, you pair,
that's
isn't it? I know.
Do you have Italian family?
No.
Too?
Oh, okay. I really like the culture. I really like the food. I've always wanted to go to Tuscany and have a proper biscotti and dunk it in something.
Yes.
I've never been to Rome, and I've told you have to go to Rome, you know, if you like pizza and you like pasta and all that kind of stuff. I'm really into Nigella Lawson, and she's big on the Italian stuff. Mm. And we've nearly eaten at Lady Gaga's father's restaurant at the Lincoln Center.
Ooh.
So, and I've seen her on A Very Gaga Christmas, I know, doing her meatballs and all that kind of stuff. And I like the Italian culture and the fact that everything, although we tried to do an Italian thing in this country, it was called Dolmio, Friend Your Dolmio Day.
Oh, stop and that it. Was basically, I mean, what a like ridiculous.
Diarrhea in a jar with
well,
basil.
It's like- It's like a lot of those things like, that French advert for ridiculous wine. What was it? Oh, I've lost words.
The Black Tower.
No, not the Black Tower. There was that advert for
advert.
Some
Use
French wine.
A French
le,
wine.
Labrador or L'Ador.
Labrador?
The French Adore Labrador or something. And it was a French wine that no one had ever heard of in France, but they were trying to sell it in the UK as the best-selling wine. So things like that with that Dolmio, Italians wouldn't go near it.
But the Renault Clio, and that was very successful. And no one in France drove a Clio.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah,
that
was
Papa.
It was like a very low-grade Lincoln. It was
horrible. That was Papa, wasn't it?
What, Nicole and Papa?
Yeah.
And then, of course, the twist was she was actually having an affair with her father.
Oh, really?
I mean, she wasn't. No, no, no. That was just in my diseased mind. Anyway, so back to the Italian. It's not that I'm sick, but I thought they must be pumping. It was too sexy.
That's going to annoy me that wine was
from. It was too sexy. But no, I totally get your whole Italian thing because food is such a, particularly from the grandparents, because it's like, smack your hands away. You don't know how to make this. You'll watch me make it, but you're not helping.
Yeah.
And you'll eat it.
Oh, yes, yes. You can't be in the kitchen. In my family, they would begin cooking dinner at
four?
Yeah, so early.
With
three.
The vino.
Yes. My great-grandfather, he built the house I grew up in. He came from Italy, and he built a wine cellar into the basement and made his own wine. And he would have a full jug of wine underneath the dinner table at his feet for himself. And then put one on the table for the family. But he had his very own supply of wine.
Hiya, granddad.
God bless him.
Yeah. Oh, my God. No, so, I'm totally into that.
Well, that's the other thing. The French and the Italians and the Spanish, they have flagons of wine. It's not a bottle. A bloody flagon of them.
Well, going back to the Nigella. So you know who Nigella Lawson is. She's a cook. She's very attractive, Rubenesque, beautiful woman. And there's a woman the same age in this country called Gillian McKeith. And she is what we call a poo pervert. She is someone that gives you a load of fiber, sniffs your poo in a Tupperware and looks like Zelda from Terrorhawks. Did you ever see Zelda from Terrorhawks?
Yes.
So this woman's like a human scrotum. And I remember there was a meme and it said, both these women are the same age. Nigella enjoys meat. She enjoys pasta, bread and all that kind of stuff. Washed down with copious amounts of wine. Gillian likes cucumbers and flax seeds. So obviously you'd go with Nigella's way. Because Italian, well, Sophia Loren. Oh my God. Hello.
Oh my God.
Yes.
That's, her body is so, it is just.
And still today it looks.
Oh my God. She looks fantastic.
Did you see her in Pret-a-Porter?
She's still alive. I thought Sophia was dead.
No, I think she's still alive.
No, she's.
She's still alive.
Yeah. Oh, no, she is. Well,
now
she better be for
nervous.
The purpose
of
she shit. Must be getting on now.
She must be in her 90s.
Do you think so?
Oh, yeah. She must be. Oh, she looks great.
She looks so good. Watch her be dead and we have no idea. We're like, she looks great.
Well, she does. But that's the thing. If you die, then you kind of stay the same, don't you?
Yeah.
In people's minds, obviously, not in reality.
Yeah. We'll always remember Sophia Loren as, the classic.
So can I ask, because you're really, really personal, has this been cathartic for you? Has it therapized you in any way? Have you been able, do you feel you've recovered and can shut the door on it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It hasn't been cathartic because I made sure I had a long time of recovery before I even put pen to paper.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So I've been completely symptom free or, of all eating disorder symptoms for at least 10 years.
Wow.
Yeah. But it took, I was in it for 10 years. So it was a lot. And the health side effects catch up to you. You're in your 20s. You don't give a shit what your doctors are telling you.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't take care of yourself, you're going to
happen.
You're going to get osteoporosis by the time you're 30. And I'm like, fuck you. And shit, I've got osteoporosis.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. And so it catches up to you. But I had to make sure that I was in a really healthy place in my mind and then in my body too. But mostly I see a lot of solo theater pieces and I'm like, oh, they still are going through this.
Oh, okay. You recognize that in other people?
Like this is that person's therapy and this is not, I've done it. I've done the work and now I'm just putting out the story because I love to share it.
Wow. Yeah.
And where is this on, Amy? Where can people come and watch it?
Underbelly, George Square.
Nice.
It's at the Wee Coo. Oh, yeah, lovely. So it's a little 60-seat theater.
Nice.
Yeah, but it's so intimate, though. Even if there's only 15 people, it feels like a full house. Mm. I love it.
It's like here. I mean,
yes, I know.
60.
You can barely tell. I'm honestly
two in.
Always feels like a full house.
I mean, they've had to put the jacket
house.
On. I don't know if they're trying to leave or they're just cold. If you are leaving, could you do it now before we get the next guest on? But we'd really like you to fucking stay. Sit where you are, motherfuckers. Amy, I really feel we should exchange details because we have barely scratched the surface.
I know.
I
you two are very much
Yes.
There's little, I can see a little loving.
Oh, there you go. No pasta good. For us, though. Just the salad and a good balsamic. Can we have a round of applause for one for Amy?
Thank you.
Thank you, darling. There we go. Lovely.
Nice to meet you. Yes.
Stay in touch. Now, from one lovely lady to a lady that has really known what life's all about. Give her a round of applause.
It is a fabulous Dave Johns.
There you go, Dave Johns. Hello.
Hello, sir. How are you?
I've always dreamt about being sandwiched between you two.
Oh, have you? Your dream has come true, my darling.
I'm delighted because I'm looking at my future and I think you carry it off well.
You are carrying this off well. This feels like a bit of a new look for you, Dave.
I've done a 100-mile walk. Last week.
Where from to where?
Morningside.
Morningside, yeah. Along the cobbles. No, I did a charity walk for our good friend in comic Sean Locke died.
Oh,
recently.
Yes, of
it's
course.
It's a year ago to yesterday, and Bill Bailey organised a walk with his family and friends. We raised £117,000.
Oh, well done.
For Macmillan Cancer.
Brilliant.
But it nearly killed me. I've lost four toenails.
Really?
It was 100 mile. It was across the Devon Cornwall coast, which is one of the hardest walks in the country, which Bill didn't tell us.
No, and, kept
and
that
Bill's
quiet.
Bill's idea of this is a really easy walk, and 10 hours later, you're going up and down these cliffs, and but it was good. It was good. We all talked about Sean and shared stories, and his family were there, and his kids heard, stuff about
his children.
It's 17, 16, and 11.
That is such a real tragic age to lose a parent.
And
really
Sean was
is.
One of my great mates. I shared flats up.
Yeah, no, I know you were friends for years.
Yeah, but I've got no toenails now because I made the rookie mistake. And if you're ever going to walk 200 miles, Bruce, right, the thing to do is cut your toenails. I didn't cut my toenails, so I've lost all my toenails. And ironically, now I don't have to cut my toenails.
Well, that saves you a job during the fringe.
Back? I don't know. Do they grow back? I mean, you seem a wise man.
I think they do grow back. I think what we need is a basin of water on a regular basis and maybe some essential oils.
No, lovely. A nice little massage.
Well, remember that big thing that was on a few years ago, that big trend where all these shops were open where fish...
Oh, God, and they used to nibble your feet.
Or the fish pedicures.
Yes.
And they all disappeared. I wonder how that happened. You can imagine some guy going, I'm going to put all of your redundancy money into fish pedicures. We make a fortune. They open for about a month.
Yeah,
and then they all close.
Because I remember seeing them down in Ocean Terminal in Leith, not far from the flat, right? Now, Leith is a combination of very desirable and scum. And I just used to think that manky water, lovely, wouldn't have any other way, but that plankton. And then there was that thing in Amfab where someone lost their life because one drew blood and then it was a feeding frenzy. And you were like, oh my God, I just wouldn't like that.
It was a ridiculous idea. However, I got off the ground. And
I'm so surprised that they all closed.
Yeah. The fish died because the feet were honking.
Now, David, I mean, you are doing all sorts of things, the film star that you are, which I still kind of can't quite correlate the Dave Johns that we've been gigging in for years in clubs and then you popping up in bloody cinema screams. What's that dickhead doing?
The funny thing was, obviously, because was it you or the film you were in that won the Palme d'Or?
It was, and the BAFTA.
Right, okay, so we're talking. Right. But then my abiding memory of you is, do you remember Big Cha-Cha that was an illegal alien in New York?
Big Cha-Cha?
Do you remember Charlotte McDonald?
Okay.
And I think you were going to pump her one evening.
Was that really?
I can't remember, we were all in a club.
Oh, my wife will be really pleased.
Oh, right, okay. bleep, bleep, allegedly. So it's funny when I see all the accolades.
Big Charlotte, the illegal lady, that I was going to pump once. Well, there you go. You've heard it here. I've been outed and exposed.
Wait, sorry, were you married 15 years ago?
No, I wasn't.
Oh, well, there you go then. Oh, yeah, no, allegedly. No bleeping.
No. Yes, in a period of time where you were young, free and single.
Like in Friends, we were on a break.
Exactly. Oh. Exactly.
Yeah, so what about the big... I can't remember this.
Oh, big chance, I know, I remember. Where were we? Ah! We were in Newcastle.
Okay.
No, we were Glasgow.
Glasgow.
And I remember Chacha spoke at the side of her mouth. You think she'd had a stroke and was coping really well.
And that's the sort of women I like.
I remember she went like that. She went, oh, I had a threesome at Halloween. And I went, all right, okay, what did you go as, Miss Piggy? And I went, you wouldn't have needed a costume. Because she was more of a handsome woman than she was a rare and unusual beauty. Mm. And I always remember thinking that you two were going out. I think you went back to her flat. She lived near the Mitchell. She lived near the Mitchell Library. No!
Fantasy. No, you went to and you thought.
Neither of you are in my fantasies. I want to talk to the lady about the diet stuff.
I'm going to imagine Dave having sex
with someone who looks like
he's got a stroke.
Oh, for God's sake,
Miss Piggy.
Yeah, but exactly. That's hardly going to get me up. You know, Sunderland's sexiest midget.
I don't know, Bruce. I think that could probably get you going.
I think as well.
It's the white beard.
This is a good way to find out who's listening, because if this turns up in the headlines of the Sun.
I'm just totally having to defend myself. I don't know what he's talking about. He's mad.
Well, I'm mad, but that's factual. No, I think she's living in Texas now.
Oh, all right. Okay. Thank God for that. I'll just tune into this podcast from old Edinburgh to think I've been away for so long.
What? But do you want the biggest laugh is that people are like, do you do a podcast? What's your podcast? And then they're able to say, we either get the podcast, so we do. We breadcrumb them. That's the term. We breadcrumb them
because the podcast has become very popular.
Yes, exactly.
I've just come back from Belgium.
You've just come back from Belgium.
Yes, I was making a film in Belgium, and for the first time in my life ever, I had to speak French. I had to learn French, and when the tutor phoned me up and said,
"Bonjour,"
I just want to see what standard of French you have, and I went. Como te llamas, David? And she went, that's Spanish. I went, that's
that's the level I'm at.
Not any French at all. So I had to learn that.
Wow.
And
it's very hard.
In the film, I play an ex drag queen.
No.
I do.
Do you?
And I'll show you the photographs later, Bruce.
Okay.
And then you'll change your mind about me and that lady having sex.
So are you in the full kit and caboodle for any of it? Or?
I am. I do. Mike, basically, it's a very interesting story. In Belgium, 20 years ago, same sex could get married. So I played with two guys, a French actor called Olivier Gourmet, and we were the first couple to get married together. And what it explores is everybody embraced gay marriage, but they didn't see the aftermath of the divorce that's going to happen, you know? And it's the first time it's been shown that, you know, because, you know, people get divorced all the time.
Absolutely.
So it's about this couple who've been married for 20-odd years. They've been together for a long time. He's an ex-policeman. I was an ex-drag queen. I'm English expat living in Brussels. And it's about us sort of basically breaking up and not communicating.
And the drama.
It's called Les Tortues, which is the turtles in French.
Because have you seen, is it Uncoupled with Neil Patrick Harris on Netflix?
Yeah, right.
So that's about because the vast majority of homos that you meet, right, we've been together 30 years, oh, I love him, but I wouldn't sleep with him, right? Yeah. And it's basically two men that are like, I don't want to stay in a small house.
Yes.
I'm used to the money. That really is the bottom line. Yeah. And it's all about standard of living.
Yeah.
So when's that coming out?
That's coming out in February, but it's hopefully going, it's been entered to the Cannes Film Festival and to a few other festivals, but it's a great script and funny, dark, very, very moving.
Mm-hmm.
And I do five scenes in French. And the first day when I was speaking French, we're doing this courtroom scene and the thing, and I had to speak French. And when I spoke French, all the crew and the director started laughing. And I went, oh, thanks very much for your support. And he went, no, Dave, you're so cute when you speak French.
Aww.
You're like a baby. They will love you. And I thought, oh, well, that's quite good, you know? So I'm doing that. So that was a really good thing.
So how many times have you been to Cannes? Because I wanted to go this year because Kylie did a remix with Peggy Goo and it was sponsored by Magnum. All my favourite things. But I've never been and I've always really fancied it.
Well, I'll tell you what, Bruce, if I go to Cannes with this film, I'll dress in drag and me and you can go together.
I'll go
carpet.
As your partner. I'll be the new husband. I am going to hold you to that. You heard it here first. Mary Burke, if you're listening, because I know you have a photographic memory. I'm off to Cannes, bitch.
And here is Dave Johns with his new wife.
Hiya.
Oh, you would love that.
And what are you wearing, Bruce? I'm wearing George from Asda.
Oh. Oh, no, I'll be wearing Tom Ford. Come on, bitch. Oh. Yes.
Standard,
yes.
Standard.
George
Fisherman's,
George.
Fisherman's Friend has just come out.
It comes out on Friday.
Oh, it comes out Friday, okay.
Yeah.
Is that what the hat is a nod to? Are you a method actor?
No, I'm just bald. Oh, right, I have different coloured hats because you know when you see you've got a lovely head of hair, you see.
I just had it all cut off.
Just had a lovely haircut today.
You can change your hair, can't you?
Ah, yes.
I can't, I'm bald, so I wear different coloured hats.
Oh, nice.
It's sort of my mood. Today, my mood's more sort of like. Dark and
yeah, dark, but yeah.
Dark and
yeah.
Stormy, like the drink.
Snoods, apparently they're called.
Yeah, that's exactly what they're called.
Well, snoods came back because people didn't want to wear the masks. So snoods, because remember Nick Kershaw from the '80s? He was big into the snoods.
Oh, I met Chesney Hawkes yesterday.
Oh, I know, how exciting!
Sorry, just
where did you meet Chesney Hawkes?
Up at the loft bar.
Oh, the fucking loft bar, yeah. Jesus.
And, okay. Because I'm the one and only. But nobody. That was number one. That was number one the week that my son was born.
Okay.
So it's always been a thing in our house. And for my son's 30th birthday, I got us the one and only single.
You?
I don't know what he's doing.
I used
doing.
To be Chesney Hawkes.
Yes, probably. But yes, so I got a picture of him for my son. He was blown away.
That's he's lovely, lovely, isn't he?
He's really sweet. Very attractive. But I think he's married. Anyway.
Okay, well, let's get off this sort of
Well,
like,
you shouldn't yes. let that put you off. I mean, it doesn't stop Cha-Cha.
Apparently it didn't stop me.
No.
Apparently.
You little rogue.
In Bruce's brain.
What I love, because...
In Bruce's brain, my new film next week.
I still think very fondly of... Obviously, we're friends on... Yeah. Well, we're friends in real life, but we're friends on Facebook. And I very vividly recall when you had the first callback for I, Daniel Blake.
I know.
And we all kind of went on the journey... With Dave, because he was so excited about. Well, in fact, you had to take one of the posts down because you peaked too early.
I did.
With some, some
but
information.
All I ever thought was to do the auditions was I'm going to meet Ken.
Yeah.
I never thought.
Just so excited.
I mean, and when he offered me the part, because Ken didn't even tell me what the film was about. We're just doing these scenes.
Yeah.
And then he said to me afterwards, he goes, and I did about five castings, and he went, Dave, we thought you were brilliant. We want to offer you the part. And I went, wow. And he goes, he goes, you're playing, and the film's called I, Daniel Blake, and you're playing Daniel Blake. And it's about a guy who's navigating his way through the benefit system in the UK. And I went, oh, I thought it was Spider-Man, Ken. and he went, no. And I went, well, I don't fancy it then. And he like went, of course I do, of course I do.
But that's the thing, because you're the same height and build as Tom Holland.
Am I?
Yeah, definitely. So you could, like, genuinely, you could get
could do a job swap. Yeah. Do a job swap.
Yeah.
But no, it was. I still, and it's,
I know,
it's been
I know,
a joy
amazing.
For all of us watching
I mean,
it,
I mean, you
watching
know,
your
to,
success.
You know, going to the Cannes Film Festival, me and Hayley, like two little kids on the Cannes Film Festival, you know. I got a bit drunk and I was at the bar and I mean, you're going to like this and Meryl Streep was coming to the bar. And I just saw her, and I didn't know what to say, so I went, Meryl, it's all free! And she went, yeah, I know, I've been to loads. It's all free!
Now, you have to remember, because you mentioned Hazel there, she's staying at home next year.
Yeah?
Yeah, okay. That's a promise. Come on now, Hazel, back in your box.
Okay.
Was Meryl nice? Did you speak to Meryl?
She was very nice about the thing, and then I was on the red carpet at the BAFTAs, and this woman came up to me, and she goes, Hiya, I'm Barbara Broccoli.
Broccoli?
She's the one who...
James Bond.
James Bond.
Oh, come on. And, grow up.
And she said...
No, she's from Lidl. I supply the veg. Christ.
And she said, this is great. She said, and she went to me, I just want to say good luck for Daniel Blake tonight. She said, honestly...
Oh, my God.
She said, for my money, your performance in Daniel Blake was one of the best male screen performances I've seen all year. And I went, oh, thanks very much. And I went, can I be the new Bond? And she went, no. And walked away.
But my God, that is an amazing accolade. That's...
Yeah. It is.
Isn't it fabulous? No,
it's crazy. And it just came out the blue, you know?
We're all very proud of you.
Thank you very much.
So great. But your roots, obviously, is a bloody stand-up, Dave. So you're
that's
not...
That's why I'm back.
That's why you're here.
But you know, doing stand-up, both of you, it's an addiction, isn't
it? Yeah, of course it is.
And you can't stop doing it. Yeah. And that feeling of making people, an audience laugh.
Mm-hmm. Or not, as the case may be sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just that buzz of being in front of a live audience. Yeah. And that's why I'm back doing the festival now, you know, just because I love doing stand-up, you know. And it's nice now because I don't have to do it as a job.
Mm-hmm.
It's made me more free, you know what I mean? Because, you know.
And and also just to do the gigs that you want to do in the rooms that we all know and love and not have to do the ones that we go,
Because you guys know the worst thing about stand-up job is the travelling.
Yeah.
And being away from home and being in horrible hotels. And I mean, I was in a travel lodge once and I went downstairs and I said, excuse me, mate, there's two springs sticking out
my bed.
He went, what? I said, there's two springs and the mattress is damp. And he came up and he went, all right. And he got and he phoned down. I thought, oh, they're gonna, and he just turned the mattress around the other way. And I went, are you joking, mate? He went, well, it's all right now, it's not sticking. I went, but it's wet. I don't know what.
So I take it you don't miss Middlesbrough on a Saturday night.
I don't. but you know, so you know how tough it is being away from home, but you know, for that 20 minutes on stage, it seems to be worth it. You know?
Yeah, no, it is worth it. It is definitely worth it.
It's good.
I mean, I don't mind the travel as much. I like to travel about.
Don't.
You hate the travel.
Yeah, and I hate the people.
I know. Yeah.
No, I hate audiences. I don't know why I do it.
Do you know why? Because I've never been sacked. That's the whole reason. Anything I tried to do beforehand, I was sacked. No one's put a stop to me.
What did you do before
starting? Do you know something? I'll tell you in Cannes next year.
Okay. Yes.
We'll have a ball in Cannes.
Absolutely.
When people go and say, I'm sorry, so what's your name?
Moses.
I don't want anybody.
No. Leave her alone.
I do love
that as an explanation for your career. No one stopped me from doing it.
Yeah, no, it's true.
I'm just realizing the time. Dave, please tell everybody where they can see you. Can they still get tickets?
I'm at the Gilded Balloon to the 28th of this month at 8:45 in the Wine Bar.
Lovely.
And it's been great fun so far. I've done two shows so far and it's been lovely. And I've had a couple of 5-star reviews.
Congratulations, well done. I was just promoting my 4.5. I got a 4.5.
And Chortle giving you 3.5.
Oh.
I mean, how slapping the teeth is that? Yeah, I thought you were brilliant, but I'm just going to withdraw.
Oh, do you know something, though?
Yeah,
he is a troubled soul. And Mark Nelson tweeted last night, to let you understand, Steve Bennett, that runs Chortle, comedy reviewer, you're like really personality disorder. And Mark Nelson had said, denied Bennett a comp last night, felt good. So shove your 3 stars up your hole. We're off to the south of France.
No,
ladies and gentlemen, Dave Jones.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Well, that's us. A pleasure, my darling. Good to see you. That's us for another day.
It is, again.
Two more before I'm away.
Two more before we get rid of you to down
before
south.
Before I'm away, yeah.
And I have a replacement with Gus.
Yeah. Oh, so
a replacement
imitation.
A replacement Gus service.
Well, exactly. Okay then, love. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.